all things bright and beautiful you are, and all things wise and wonderful you are. In the darkest nights, you brighten up the sky. A song will rise.
I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are here is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down.
Things new, I can start again. Creator God, calling me your friend. Sing praise, my soul, to the maker of the sky. A song will rise.
I will sing song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are here is enough. God of heaven, come down,
heaven,
come down.
Sing a song of hope,
sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are here is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down.
Sing a hope, God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down.
Just to know you are here is enough. God of heaven, come down,
sing a song, sing a hope,
sing along. God of heaven, come down, just to know that you are here is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Overcome, and you've already
The of praise. He's already won, church.
Of the goodness of God. that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord and give Him thanks today. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved people like us. That saved whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. And the chains of our lives, the things that hold us captive and bound are gone at the name of Jesus. We give you praise for that, Lord. We give you praise. Let me share a word of scripture from the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption. Aren't you thankful that you're adopted by the Lord today? You know, that word took on new meaning for me when three little grandchildren came into my life. You really get a sense of of how God looks at you in terms of adoption. You know, I had people to say to me, well, I know you love those kids, but isn't there a difference, you know, with one that's in the family? And I said, no, not a bit. Not a bit. How many of you are thankful for your adoption in Christ Jesus today, aren't you? Thank you, Lord. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't just open this altar this morning. And the gifts of the Spirit, the Lord said to us, call on me. Call on me. And he said, I'll answer you. And he said, I'm near the brokenhearted. I'm near those people who are bruised and wounded. I wonder if you're here this morning and there's just, you know, there's just a, you've hit a wall. I just feel the Lord sensing on my heart today that some of you feel like you've just hit a wall. There's, you know, sometimes you feel like you pray and you wonder if the Lord hears you. It feels like the heavens are brass sometimes and you just kind of feel like you're going through the motion. And maybe some of you are here and you need physical healing in your body. I really feel that today. You need a touch from God. I wonder if you'd just step out of your seat and just come and fill this altar this morning. And let's just pray a prayer of faith over God's people this morning. Come on, step out of your seat and just come and stand in his presence. Hallelujah. His goodness is here. Amen. He's here. We sang a song this morning that said, his goodness is running after you. Amen. Come on. Step out of your seat this morning and let's believe God. Are there things that you wonder? Listen. Are there things that you wonder this morning? Is God going to ever change this? I just feel that for somebody this morning. Is God, you've asked yourself, will it ever change? Is it going to get better? Can I just tell you, God is God. Amen. And he's able to do, as according to Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, listen to this, abundantly above everything that I could ever think or imagine. God is able to do that. Will it ever change? It absolutely will. I don't know about you, but I'm going to cling to faith in God. Not the fears of this world. Not the fears of this world. If you want to watch the television, you're going to be wrapped up with oppression. If you're going to watch the television, you're going to be told, you know, it's going to get, you know, all this other stuff is coming in and wars are bound. And while that may be true, listen, you have the appeal to faith in God. Faith. Faith in God. So press in with me this morning, would you? I'm believing God for a touch in my own body this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are believing with me this morning for God to do something immeasurably more than you could even ask or imagine? Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong today, we come before you, God, as only we know how. We come before you in faith, not in our own name, not on our own merit. We come before you in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, God, as you would just manifest your healing to your people today, manifest your power to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that's even in their mind, God, more than they could imagine, according to your word. Father, manifest your power today to encourage people, to fan the flames of righteousness in their lives, God, to cause them to live for you like they've never lived for you before, to manifest healing in their bodies today, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks, God. We give you thanks, God. We give you thanks. Your name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us today. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, sing it. Goodness of God, goodness of God, goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Come on, just tell him this morning. You've been faithful to me, God. You've been good to me.
You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
Your goodness is running out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, could I get you before you leave this altar this morning, turn to one another, lay hands on each other, and just speak the word of faith over the person that you're praying for today. Come on, exchange those spiritual blessings. Amen. Exchange those spiritual blessings. Lay your hand on them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just access the power of God today. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before you today, God, accessing your abilities, God, because of our own self. We can do nothing. I speak peace and blessing and healing over Aubrey today, God. I speak peace and blessing and healing over his body today. In the name of Jesus, thank you for great physicians. Thank you for doctors and abilities that they have today. But God, we thank you that you're the great physician. You're the one, God, who can do more than man could ever do. And God, we thank you for it. Thank you for more years, God, more time, more health, God. In Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can be seated in his presence today. So glad you're with us. And ask if our young people would come forward. We have youth helping us today. If you pulled into the parking lot, you might have seen a sign in the yard, or maybe someone greeted you at the door. So you guys just hold the buckets this morning. It's time for our offering, our tithes and our offering. Isn't God faithful? Come on. Isn't he faithful? Hallelujah. God, we bless you today with our giving. We pray, Lord, that you would just receive what we have. Receive what we have today, God. It's just a portion of how you have blessed our lives, God, with investments and income and all of these things, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Treasure box.
God is good, amen. I'm glad God knows everything. I'm glad that He knew when I was working on my preaching calendar that I wouldn't have a voice today. We're in a series on the family, amen. We call it Family Matters, amen. Last week we talked about the men, the husbands, the roles that we have to serve our family in love. Husbands, love your wives, just like Christ loved the church. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about the role of the wife. The wife is called to submit to her husband's leadership. That's a hard one. Pastor Joy said, gee, honey, thanks. Yeah. Thank you so much. And then next week, we talk about kids. Children, obey your parents. That's a hard one too, especially in today's world. But Father, in Jesus' name, we just lift Pastor Joy to you today. God, knowing that you've given her a word today, knowing, God, that you desire to use her today, Lord, as a vessel, I pray that you would anoint her lips of clay, God, with a fresh coal from your altar. And God, open our hearts to receive, whether we're men, women, whatever, God, open our hearts to receive, because all of us are called to submission. And that can be a hard thing. But God, we just give you this moment now, in Jesus' strong name, amen, amen. Would you welcome Pastor Joy as she comes and ministers the word today.
Praise God. I did tell him, thanks, babe, because I know that some of you ladies sitting out there are probably like myself, and when you hear that scripture read, you tighten up. I knew last week he was going to talk to the men, but when he read that part of the scripture, wives submit to your husbands. If I could tighten up my body like that tightens up my spirit, I might lose about 10 or 15 pounds, maybe 20. Anyway, Today I do speak on the second message of the series, Family Matters. And my direct focus today will be, wives, submit to your husbands. You may think because you're not married, you don't need to listen. You may think that because you're a man, you don't need to listen. But let me say this, you need to listen. You will gain from things discussed today that will benefit your Christian walk. Because as Christians, we are to be submissive to Christ. And without being submissive to Christ, there's no way that we can love our wives and be submissive to our husbands. So submission to Christ actually comes first. So make sure, as we discuss the role of women and men in marriage and the family unit, that we learn the way to be submissive to our Heavenly Father and assure we are living a submissive life. Let's just reiterate what Pastor shared last week. It'll make us wives feel better. Husbands, love your wife. The first thing stated in this passage places the focus on the husband. Why? Because from the husband showing love, all other things will follow. Ephesians 5:21 reminds us that this submission is mutual. It says, submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. It is mutual. So mutual plan that God set in order. Husbands love, wives submit. When the husband loves, he submits to the will of God for him as head. When a wife submits to her husband, she submits to the will of God for her life. Think about it. If a husband truly loves his wife, the wife will submit because the loving and godly husband would never make a decision that would harm the wife or their children. Do you remember the example that Pastor shared last week? And he had the Carter family up here. He had Jeffrey over here being prehistamy man. You know how men get those muscles going? Kind of like, I might be older than y'all, but kind of like a Clint Eastwood spirit. Go ahead, devil. Make my day. Yeah. So that's the man standing here. And then Kaija was behind him. She protects him. He protects her. And then the children, all behind the husband. Protection. A loving husband will rise to take on that responsibility with much diligence, knowing it's the foundation of the home. Without that strong foundation or headship, the wives will waver and the children will not be able to be reared in unity and godliness. Husbands will make mistakes. Everybody does. Every human does. Even when we are under the direction of the Father, we still make mistakes. A husband who acknowledges his wrong decisions instead of making excuses or blaming others, being humble as he leads, will speak to his family that he is human, but working toward the goal of leading well. Husbands will seek out counsel. They'll listen to possibilities. They'll research options. They'll pray. They'll discuss before making the decision that will affect the entire family. Ladies, as the husbands ask forgiveness, I'm going to reiterate this, Pastor, or states that he was wrong, please don't say, I told you so. Please don't say, I'm not gonna tell you that I told you so. And if he doesn't acknowledge and ask forgiveness, Still, don't say, I told you so. I say this out of experience. It doesn't work. It doesn't help, and it doesn't bring any resolve or peace to your home. Pray that God helps him to be a different man, to take responsibility for his actions, to open his eyes to who he is, and to see God's will for his life. Women, pray for your husbands. Women, it's not an easy message, but it's needed. To be honest, sometimes I don't like this scripture. Anybody with me? Yes, yes. And women, let's just be honest. There have been some seasons that it's easy to be submissive. There's been some seasons where it's hard to be submissive. And there's been some seasons when we weren't submissive. Being submissive is a daily choice and a daily decision. I wish it was one of those things that once you check the box, it's done. You know, once you do it, it's done. But no, it's not. It's an active choice every day, every decision, every experience, every circumstance. But women, don't take offense. Let's learn and build our homes with godly strength and truths. God has placed this in his word for our good. And realize that when we do the things that God asks us to do, our lives line up. Our husbands will line up. Our children will line up. And let me just ask, ladies, who wants a healthy family? Who wants a healthy marriage? Who wants a great marriage and a great family? Yes, we all do. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 21 to 24. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Regardless of how you or I may feel at times, God has appointed and anointed your husband's headship. And women, we can wrestle with God if we want to, but I'm just going to tell you now, you're not going to win. The first thing I want to make sure you all understand is that the husband has the biggest responsibility here. Let's face it. Let me say it again. The husband has the bigger responsibility, bigger than the wife's. He will ultimately have to answer to God for how he has led his wife and his children. That's a responsibility that I don't care to have. I don't want to take that on myself. I'll let him have that. Wives, on the other hand, will have to answer to God for how we respected and followed our man even during the times when we didn't agree with him. So, again, do you want a great marriage? Do you want a great family? If so, women, let's follow God's commands. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It is going to be hard at times. And yes, will we have to discuss, talk things out with our spouse? Yes, we will. Let's talk about what submission is. Submission in marriage means selflessness, service, accountability, and respect for your partner. I'm just going to say it again. Submission in marriage means selflessness, service, accountability, and respect for your partner. Submitting doesn't mean we don't discuss. It doesn't mean we don't share our feelings. It doesn't mean we don't share our concerns or our fears. It means we share our thoughts and our concerns without disrespecting him. And a godly and loving husband will welcome discussion and feedback. A godly and loving husband will hear his wife and consider her thoughts and concerns. In fact, a godly and loving husband will request that his wife give him some feedback on things. He will ask, "What's your thoughts on this? I'm thinking about, I'm going to have two. What's your thoughts on this? And how can we do it? What would be the best answer through this?" Think about it. A loving and godly husband will look to promote his wife's God-given talents and giftings, her education, her skill set, and there will be mutual submission. Submission is not being a tyrant in your home. I think a lot of times we have thought that, and that if we give up our role that we're taking at that time, that it will cause a tyranny. But in fact, submission can only be received. It can't be taken. Women, he can't take the lead until you give it to him. I'm just going to let that sit there. I know it. And submission is an action that starts in the heart. So women, do you love your husbands? Do you love God? Are you submissive to the Father? And if you have your heart right, it'll be easier for you to give the lead to that husband. Men cannot lead without your submission. And with your submission, you place him in that lead role. You place him in front. Go ahead, make my day. I can just see it right now. Well, let me just give you a little background, because Pastor Wallace raised two boys and Abby. And it was a big thing in our house to get in front of the mirror and show your muscles. It was also a big thing that every now and then the boys would attack Pastor while he didn't know they were coming, just to see if they could overtake him. Anybody, any other men have boys like that? That, you know, "Dad, let's wrestle," or just don't even ask, and just, you know, because, you know, they're boys and they have muscles. And even now, when they come home, sometimes they want to muscle up on Pops. And I say, "Ho, ho, ho! Don't be hurting him. He won't be able to get out of bed tomorrow morning." But when I say that, something happens in Pastor Wallace. He comes up with strength. Next thing I know, he'll have one of the boys in a headlock, be throwing them on my sofa. That's why one of our legs on our sofa is not there. Just telling you. So when we talk about that prehistomy man, you're talking about the strength that that man gets, not from his physical body. It's not all from the physical. It's not all from his experience. It's from the Lord. It's his decision to seek God's will in his life. Women, know that when we embrace this scripture, We are putting our trust in God more so than in our husbands. Number one, we are trusting God. Number two, we are submitting to God's commands for us. And number three, we're releasing that leadership role to Him. We know that God has our backs. He's got our backs. God will not lead me into a harm's way. Even if I feel what my husband is doing or isn't doing isn't best for my family and me, God will keep us safe. Five ways to embrace your husband's headship. Lean on God's truth rather than your own feelings. Think about spiritual significance of marriage. The word states that the man is to love as Christ loves the church, willing to give his life for it. The relationship isn't of master to servant. Listen to this. It's of lover to beloved. I love that. I love that. It's to lover to beloved. The husband or head should be willing to die to give his life for the wife and family. Jesus speaks of being equal with God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But also says, the Father is greater than I. Hence, Jesus acknowledges the headship. In John 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And in Matthew 26:39, Jesus went on a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Have you ever seen a two-person lead? Wallace likes to call it a two-headed monster. Anything with two heads is a monster, yes. But a two-person lead is like the president and the vice president. A two-person lead is a pilot and a co-pilot. A two-person lead is a principal and assistant principal, a coach and an assistant coach. So there can be a two-person lead. And under that, they realize who the final call is. When a coach and an assistant coach have differing opinions out on the field, and they do, you can see them talking back and forth. It looks like they're fussing. They're trying to get their point across to each other. In the end, it's that coach that makes that final decision. Same thing with principal and assistant principal. In the end, when it gets right down to it, it's the principal who has to make that final decision. It's the same thing with a husband and wife. As we're leading our family, growing our family, the lead is our husband. Give your husband the honor he deserves. And I just want to defunct the myth that women are inferior to men. Because Galatians 8:28 says, all are one in Christ Jesus. And here's a reminder that men and women complement one another. Our differences actually complement. Embrace the differences. Have you ever heard of opposites attract? Yeah. Yeah. And most of you probably say, I married somebody that's an opposite of me. Or we have a lot of differences. Is there an attraction to the opposite, or is there an attraction to the strengths and the giftings that we lack? Many times. Ladies, go back in time when you were dating. Most likely your guy was leading. He was picking out where to take you. He was choosing, you know, where we were going to go, where we were going to eat, if we were going to hang out with his friends. And you probably felt like you'd follow him forever. Yeah, yeah. Now, some of that is infatuation, you know, because you're in that role, and this is what we're doing, and this is a girlfriend and boyfriend, and, you know, he worked hard all week, and he's going to take me out to dinner. And we love that. When we're dating, we love it. Then all of a sudden we get married. And how does it end? What happens there? I think the difference is realizing that this is our life. And the decisions we make are so important. One of the other third ways to embrace your husband's headship is let go of any bitterness. But I will remind you, ladies, go back to that feeling of dating. Go back to that. He can still take you out to dinner. He can still plan the night. And have those moments where, you know, I'm going to plan this date night. You plan that date night. I'll tell you one thing that Pastor recently did. We were leaving to go out of town. We had to be there by a certain time. It was late and we hadn't driven very far. But he had said, honey, while we were packing the night before, honey, on the way out of town, we're going to get a good meal. We'll go ahead and celebrate Valentine's early. Well, as things go, we got held up here at the church. He had to do some extra things before we left out of a Husky. And we left a little late. That's okay, because there's a lot of restaurants between here and there. Yeah, I thought he had researched and had a place. Because sometimes he does that. Sometimes he'll like research something and take me to like the, I don't know, he Googles something and like the best restaurant in, you know, wherever, best barbecue in, wherever. This particular time, we're driving along and I was about to starve. I thought, well, where is he, where in the world is he going to take us? And I realized, you know, he was really pushing it. In the driving, a little fast, a little rugged, and I thought, well, maybe it's because of all the traffic. And, you know, he's getting a little aggressive there with his driving. Pretty soon, I saw this little billboard, you know, the one with the little signs of the restaurants up there? And he says, honey, we're running a little behind. Do you mind just kind of grabbing something and just riding on? I said, no, you know, we're going out of town. It'll be, do you know where that booger took me? Subway. We got a Subway here. You never go out of town and eat something that you have here. I was like, oh, man. But I didn't say anything. I got back in the truck, you know. We were eating. It was just falling all over the place, you know. You know, the lettuce all over the floor, everything. And I thought to myself, you know, I can fuss about it. Or I can suggest tomorrow we get that good meal. So I said, you know what? This is pretty good for Subway. It was. It was really good. I was starving. I said, maybe tomorrow we can research a really good place to go. And you know what he said? Sure. Sure, we'll do that. We will do that. Now, I could have fussed, and I wanted to. Let's be honest. I wanted to say, man, Subway, you're going to bring me to Subway? And a lot of other stuff. But that would have just made him feel worse. And it really would have disrespected him. But I took the, as Pastor likes to say, I took the higher road and said, this Subway is good. You know, some Subways are better than other Subways. This Subway was good. And tomorrow, maybe we can get something else somewhere. And he did redeem himself. Twice before we got home, we went to two nice restaurants. He redeemed himself. And we have to allow those times for him to redeem himself. Because if we had argued and fussed, it would have only caused more tension, more stress, more difficulties on the road. And of course, I would have had a bad attitude all the night. So another method or another way is we can let go of any bitterness. And Ephesians 5:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Marriage is hard, but it's worth the work. Often in marriages, there are rough patches, poor decisions, but holding on to anger and bitterness will only make things worse, and it will only make you sick. It will physically drain you to be angry and bitter. Move forward by forgiving and not allowing deep-rooted bitterness to plant itself in your relationship. It will cause a bigger wedge between you, and we need to stay close. We are a unit. He's the coach, and I'm the assistant coach. Release fear. If the truth be known, many wives struggle with this scripture out of fear. Fear of turning into our parents. Some of us might have some of those memories that pop right up instantly. Fear of losing control. Fear of being open to hurt. And fear of ourselves failing. Can I do this? Can I trust him? Can I trust God? Because the truth of the matter is, that's where it falls. Do we trust God enough to do what his word tells us to do? The truth of the matter is, all of us like to be in control. We like to control things. Women, we like to control our husbands and our children. We like to think that we can maneuver and finagle to get our family in shape and keep it that way. Well, women, we cannot. Without God and without our husbands being head of the house, we cannot do that. That's a wrong thought process. As women of faith, we must pray and ask God for direction, for help, and honesty in our marriage and in our parenting. Sometimes God will have you do something you don't like, and one of those things is releasing control so that God's plan can come to fulfillment. Start believing in your guy again. Recognize biblical submission and biblical leadership complement one another. Realize your desire to control and lead is due to your sin nature. I mean, really, who doesn't want their own way? Even the kids want their own way. Learn to focus and affirm your man's strengths, which in turn will give him the room to admit his struggles and his weaknesses. As men see their wives as supportive, loving, respectful, they will have more confidence to ask for help and to seek oneness or to seek that joint ownership. He'll let you be the assistant coach. One reason why men don't lead is because they feel it isn't worth the conflict. They're like, I'm not even going to try anymore. It's just a big fight in our house all the time because I'm not even going to try anymore. I can think about a time when Pastor had decided to move our family to Southeastern. That's in Florida. I realized that this move was going to change our lives entirely. You could probably sit the apartment in our little house. It wasn't even big. Two or three times. So I would need to work a full-time job and assist with the bills while Wallace was in seminary, and he would work the part-time job and attend classes. And it would involve placing my children for the first time in daycare. Like, oh, I don't like this. But I knew that this decision was in God's plan for our lives. I felt the peace that God had provided me, and I was in total submission for the move. So you know what we ladies do? We get out our little, I use a journal. I get out my little journal and I make a list of all the things that I think we can do without. And I make a list of all the things that will this little apartment will hold. Okay. So my little home was going to become smaller, and we would have to give away some things that wouldn't fit in the apartment, and we would have to store some things. So we began to purge and clean and downsize until we had just the necessities. And just as the men were loading the freezer on the back end of the moving truck so we could plug in during the nights so everything would remain frozen, they realized there was no room for the toy box. Now, folks, you can take my wedding china. I can leave my dining room tables. I can leave my chairs, my dining room chairs. I can do without extras. I can do without pictures. I can do without end tables. We can leave the sandbox. We can leave the swing set, the grill, the potted plants. We can do all of that. But we ain't leaving these kids' toys. No. So it went from submission to myself. Now, I'm all there. We're going. I feel God's peace about this move. Oh, the tears. The meltdown, the verbal comments that came from my mouth were unreal. Wallace Phillips, you know that's never good. Wallace Phillips, you can pull us up and move us across this globe if you want to, but you aren't going to pull out of this yard without these toys. And those church men stopped dead in their tracks. Every one of them. I mean, like feet in the air. They're frozen. Freeze tag is what it looked like. They didn't even swivel around to look. They just stood, you know. And I realized from Wallace's face that I had pierced him, that I had disrespected him, and that I had assumed he didn't feel the same way. I remember walking to the end of the house. We were all outside, walking to the end of the house, and I was praying. I mean, I had just lost it, ladies. Yeah. Yeah, me. And I said, God, I'm not sure I can do this. You know, when you break down, you'll just break down and tell the truth. God, I'm not sure I can do this. I know our finances are low and they're not going to get better. And if we leave these toys, my kids are not going to have anything familiar to them, and we won't be able to afford to replace them. I remember stepping back over to Wallace as these men still were just standing there, not doing anything, still in their tracks. Their cars and trucks were filled with things that we were having to leave behind, things that we had given to them, things that they thought they could knew or knew somebody that could use them. Knowing the sacrifice, leaving the familiar home, stepping into a new life for the next 4 years, and the men knowing this mama was hot. My whole disposition of my body probably changed from the time that I said those things to after the prayer. Always pray before you say something. I said to Wallace, I'm sorry for fussing at you, but we got to take most of these toys. We have already purged, given away, whittled it down to just the most loved things. The kids need some of their things. Things that they know, things that they love. Please find room. But if you can't, I understand. That was hard, ladies. That was hard. If you can't, I understand. Ladies, my face was just stained with tears. But I had a peace that came over me after saying, if you can't, then I understand. Whether those toys were taken or not, I had submitted the most prized possession to my husband and the Lord, and that was the security of my kids. I do not know how he did it, whether it was an act of God or an act of a determined man leading his family, but Wallace got that toy box. I don't even know where he put the toy box. He got those toys in the back seat of that car, which was already packed. And when we arrived at the college campus, the kids unloaded and unloaded and unloaded the back of that car. They were shoved under the seats, in the back window, between the rider and the passenger. But I still believe it was a miracle. I do. I believe it was a miracle. And I kind of feel sorry now that I think about it. I didn't at the time. But now that I think about it, his parents drove the car behind us. And they were probably very scrunched. And they couldn't move the seat because it was too much stuff underneath it. So they were probably in there. Once they got in there, they were there for good. Often you will hear women say that their husbands won't lead, that their husbands will not take the role that God intended. These women are often mad and angry because they have to step up and lead themselves. Women, we really don't want to lead ourselves. We really want them to be our lead. We really want them to be the head of our house. We often say this when we want him to lead the way we would lead. You want him to do what you want. It's our sinful nature to want our way. But women, if you won't lead, they will have to. You are not required to step up to the plate and lead. In fact, maybe when your husband sees you are not going to step up, then he will step up and lead. Maybe your husband is used to you taking matters in your own hands, and so he just doesn't bother. Men will step up when women release headship. Men will decide and implement goals for themselves and their families. Men will realize their need for prayer and hearing from God. And men will suffer the consequences if they fail or drop the ball. 1 Peter 3:1, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. A wife's submission is a trust in God and obedience to God. May I note that in this scripture it says, won without words but by behavior. Women, this is hard for us. We are verbal creatures. We are verbal. And 1 Peter 3:5-6 says, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. In essence, a wife's submission is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and of subduing of our own desires. Submission is for strong and faith-filled women. And our example is Sarah. And it's not a real good example, the one I chose to share with you, but I'm going to share it. Sarah was submissive to Abraham by telling people she was his sister. It was a lie. It was a lie. And it was not of God. Think about it. Abraham didn't do this once. He did this twice. I can't say that Sarah was right in doing this, but she was submissive, and God did keep her safe. In 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I'm telling you, ladies, if we submit to our husbands, and I know it's at times it's not easy, we will gain not only a good marriage, but grow in the things of God. We will remain safe. We will have peace and joy in the plan that God has chosen for us. Men, if you submit to God, He will guide you in the right decisions and in good leadership of your home. If you submit to your wife, becoming one unit and respectful, your prayers will be answered. So let me tell you the benefits of submission. Right standing with God, open communication with God, spiritual growth, emotional growth, peace, joy, hope. It is sad that today I feel like I need to say that sometimes women are not in a good, loving relationship, and they may suffer with abuse or harm, something harmful to them or their children. And I ask you, if that's you, seek out help from the proper officials or from pastor. Talk to somebody and get some help. God has the plan. I want to share with you something else too. God has the plan. Husbands are to properly love, and when they do, wives will properly submit. That's God's prescription for a healthy household. When Pastor started this Family Matters series, he noted the NIV translators added this heading to Ephesians 5, Rules for Christian Households. God loves your family. Your family matters. Now I'm going to read something I saw on Facebook this week because it was just pertinent, and it just hit me, and it was just boldly stated and truth. It's from the pastor of Focus Church in Raleigh. He's a friend of ours. His name is Mike Santiago. He said, passive men create exhausted wives, confused children, dead churches, broken societies. Passionate men take responsibility, lead with clarity, live boldly, love faithfully. Do you want to be passive men? Or do you want to be passionate men? Women, do you want your man to be passive or passionate? If we want our men to be passionate, we have to release the headship of our home. We're releasing them to God. We're releasing our family to God. We're releasing ourselves to God. Pastor has made some daring decisions in our lives. With every daring decision he has made, it has caused me to fear. I am not a risk taker. He's the risk taker. But with every scary decision that he's made, I have had to pray through about it. I have also heard from God, and I have released that leadership to him. It's not something that we can just mash the button and say, I'm a submissive wife. Woo! It's a daily choice. It's every risky choice. It's every risky decision. It's every day living, allowing him to be the head of our house. And you know, it doesn't change when the kids are gone. It's just a little more quiet. But it doesn't change when the kids are gone. He continues to make decisions. And God has kept me safe, ladies, and he'll keep you safe. God has blessed us with those risky decisions. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to submit? to be totally submitted to the Lord, and then to submit leadership to our husbands. Now, I know some of you wives probably are sitting here that your husbands are no longer in your homes. And you say, how does that work? It is difficult, but you can still pray and you can say, God, I don't know what the situation is or the circumstances, but you can say, God, change that man. Draw him to you. Same thing for men sitting here, leading homes alone, leading families without the wife. Change that woman. Change that woman, because you know what? A whole mom or a whole dad in Christ, even if they never come back into your home, will have good for their children and not bad. They will seek good for you and not bad. Pastor.
Good job. Praise the Lord. That was a courageous word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give Joy a hand, would you? Come on. I've got to be honest with you. I came up in a home where it was a little bit different. My dad exercised, and we've had conversations about this, so my dad exercised a lot of control. He seemingly never lightened up. You know, I didn't get to choose what kind of haircut I wanted. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, he went to the barbershop with us, and I remember wanting to get my hair boxed off. It was just a little fad that was going. I wanted it boxed off, you know. And he said, no, you told the barber how to cut it. And my dad exercised authority in the home. I grew up in this. This is what we call socialization, okay? By without saying I'm teaching you how, my dad was teaching me how to be a dad, to be a husband, to be a father. And so I realized as an adult that there were some things I brought into my marriage that probably were not the best things to bring. I remember getting in arguments with Joy after we got married. Now, we got started out very young. She was 17 years old when we got married. I was 19. And I remember coming home long before the days of cell phones, and she wasn't there. And she was at her mom's. And so I just called around everywhere, you know, trying to find her, because we didn't have cell phones in our pocket. So, and I finally, her answer, where are you at? And she said, I'm here at mom's. They might have been putting up herons, or, I mean, we smoked herons and we smoked our own meat and putting up vegetables. She said, I'm at mom's. Well, you need to tell somebody what you're going to do. So, you know, I mean, I didn't realize this, but what I was doing was living out my socialization. And I had come from a home where my dad was very, very much in control, too much. And I brought this into the marriage, and what do you think happened? It was a clash, you know. You know, and I would look on the counter, and I'd say, you didn't leave me a note. Because my mom, whenever she did anything, she would leave my dad a note. So I was looking for her to be my mom, and she wasn't. And so God used this process to break me down and break her down, and we've ended up becoming a couple of our own over the years. It hasn't always been easy. I make decisions a lot easier than Pastor Joy does. She has a hard time making decisions, even on small things sometimes. What do you think? And then I say, well, I would do this. Well, really? Why? You know, no, you just asked me what I thought and I told you, okay? So, you know, I mean, I've done the research already. So one day I'm driving home from Nag's Head, and I've got an old vehicle that's got some challenges, and I called her up on the cell phone. I said, hey, listen, I got out of my meeting a little bit early. I said, how would you feel about us getting a new vehicle? And she said very plainly, I think you need one. Cha-ching, okay. I did ask her. And so I stopped in Elizabeth City. It took me about 45 minutes to spend $40,000 and bought me a new truck, okay? So, and I got home and she said, what are you driving? I said, I got a truck. I said, I just called you about it. She said, that fast? I said, yeah, I've been looking for weeks, okay? So I said, yeah, I got a good deal on it. And I showed her all the paperwork and everything. And one, so, you know, I'm a little bit of a, she says, risk taker. I just act a little faster sometimes. And one day, yeah, you know, women want you to listen to them. And I try to listen to what she says. So one day we were in my boat on the water. And I had an old boat and it broke down. We're out in the middle of the Choan River and the boats broke down. And we were taking a day, trying to enjoy the river, trying to have fun, and the boats broke down. And I was embarrassed that, you know, this has failed on me. I took a day off and trying to have a good day, and here I can't get the thing to start. So I used a cell phone to call a friend of mine to drag us in. And she said, please do me a favor. I said, what's that? She said, a day off like this. She said, would you please find us a boat that won't break down? Okay. So I said, okay, I'll do that. I listened to her, right? Okay. So one day I walked into her office and I had a piece of paperwork in my hand and I laid it down on her desk. I said, could you sign this? And she grabbed a pen. She said, sure, what is it I'm signing? I said, it's a boat that won't break down. Okay. She said, what? I said, you just told me the other day we needed a boat that wouldn't break down. Please get us a boat that wouldn't break down. So I bought us a brand new boat, okay? And it won't break down. Well, guess what happens to brand new boats? They will eventually break down, okay? The point that I'm trying to make is every husband and every wife is different. And I've enjoyed 40 years of marriage to this young lady, and it's been a tremendous opportunity for us to learn each other. And living with her is a joy. And so, Joy, I love you. I do. I thank God for you, and I know you thank God for Joy too as well. And she brings a lot of joy to our family, and sometimes, you know, that's the whole submission thing, and early in our marriage did bring some challenge, but as I reflected on how I was socialized, probably a lot more of the challenge was because of the way I was treating her. And so it's a good time when we go through subjects like this, family matters, that we take inventory of, you know, what kind of husband am I? What kind of wife am I? What kind of partner am I? What do I bring to the relationship? It's a great time to take inventory and certainly ask the Father to change us, you know, to cause us to be the man and the woman of God that he's called us to be. So let's stand together. Could we do that? Praise the Lord. Ladies, if you would make your way to the platform, all ladies, if you would. We got a picture of our men last week, so we want to get a picture of all of our ladies. Just come and stand. And we're gonna pray a prayer over you as the women of the house. I'm gonna pray a prayer over you. Just fill up the platform. There you go. Fill it on up. God's beautiful creation. Amen. Look at that, Alyssa, too. Young women. That's good. Praise God. Yeah, fill that platform up. Pastor Mike, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer of blessing over our women. Come on, guys, fill it on in here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir.
Aren't they beautiful? Are we proud of them? Let's pray. Men, stretch your hand forward and just believe for blessing upon all these women. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that from the beginning, you absolutely knew what you were doing when you created women. And we honor you for that. I can't imagine what life would be without a helpmeet. And I thank you for all of these. I pray first of all for those who are married and dealing with the struggles of life in a home united with a husband and wife team. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength to obey you in everything they do. I pray for those ladies here who have been married and no longer have a man in their household. I pray, Father, that you would be that one who fills that void until you or they choose to marry again. And for those who've never been married, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would guide them to the right one, to the only one, that it wouldn't be necessary for them to ever have to make that decision again. So I pray your blessings of strength, of boldness, of submission to you, because when they submit to their husbands, they're only submitting to you first. They are showing how much they love you. So we ask you now, Lord, to pour out rich blessings, blessings of long life, of favor, and for commitment, and for all of their needs to be met. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, guys, give it up. Give it up for these ladies today. Praise the Lord. Thank you all, ladies, for the amazing role that you play in every home represented in this church. It's an incredible, you know, I know, because I know so many of you, I know some of you are probably sitting there today thinking, wow, I wish I had, you know, the Adam and the Eve and the Cain and the Abel, and I had it all, you know, I only did it one time. Some of you probably said, man, I wish I'd have just done it one time. You know, don't live in regret. Don't live in regret. Be released from that. Maybe, you know, people like Susan here on the end, just thought of her as February came in. Never forget in Harrellsville, standing by the graveside and preaching a funeral for a beloved Larry Mitchell. Amazing man. Suspenders. We'll never get them out of my mind, you know. But what it's like for you now to not have that. You know, to have the husband and then not have the husband. And those all come with, you know, with being the person that you are. And only God, come on, say that with me, only God can heal those moments, those tender places of your heart. Some of you have been in relationships before, and sadly, tragically, you had to bring that thing to a close, you know. And you're not married today. You're single or single again. And then maybe a second time, maybe it didn't work out for you. Those are all hurtful things. But I would believe the Lord would have you to know today that his hand is on you, his eye is on you, his heart is on you. And for those of you that are working through that, you know, God, will I ever find the right one? The answer is yes, you will. You will. And you put your faith and your trust in the Lord, and God he'll work it all out. He'll work it all out. Brian, would you pray a prayer over them that looks into the future? You're praying for the women. If you raise your hand if you're single among this group, single. Look at that. Many, many of them. Raise your hand if you're single. Would you pray a prayer for those single women, or maybe have been married before, maybe they haven't, that God would manifest his perfect will for their lives in the future? The Bible says what? It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate. Pastor Mike prayed that. And it's, I can't imagine either. I thank you for that prayer. I cannot imagine what it would be like to not have joy. And I don't mean to be selfish, but I hope when one of us takes off, it's me first. Because I just can't imagine, you know, life without her. But would you pray for those ladies that do not have anyone And, you know, don't say, well, I'm never getting married again. Don't say it, whether you divorced or separated or your husband passed away. Don't say, I'll never do that again, because God may have someone special for you that would be a perfect match for you. And don't get angry when people try to matchmake on you. They just, they recognize you're in an awkward spot and they don't know how to deal with it, so that's what they try to do, okay?
Lord, I pray that you will bless them, Lord. You will prepare a man of God for them, a man of faith, a man of power. You will send them a Boaz, Lord, not a bozo, but a Boaz, a man who can pay their bills, a man that will be an example of a man of God. They will not settle for just anybody, not for just a nobody, but they will settle for the somebody that you have for them. And Lord, I pray that you will prepare them, Lord, because just as you preparing a man of God for them, they need to be prepared too. Lord, your timing is perfect, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will send the man, and they will know through the Spirit of God who you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you catch that? Not a bozo, but a Boaz. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. No bozos. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, we got a picture. Amen. And you know, we need healthy women. We need healthy women. So I'm going to ask Pastor Ted if he would pray a prayer of healing faith and healing for your bodies. How many of you women are struggling with something in your body right now? Look at that. Almost all of them. Let's pray a prayer of faith, of healing over your bodies and whatever you're struggling with, and believe God for that.
Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone, Father, that needs your hand, your touch in their bodies, Father, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, oh Lord, touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, put healing in their bodies and let them know, Father, who has touched them. Let them go out of this place today, Father. This morning, let them leave here and knowing that you are touching them with your power and your glory, that they will leave here healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you. And we all say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Have a great day today. Leaders, those of you who are Connect Groups, don't forget we have lunch in the back for Connect Group leaders today. And you guys enjoy your Sunday. Thank you for being a part of worship at Carpenter Shop Church.